that's official.
We'll just have to share.
Just a few moments, we should be all set. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jamie Rabbit. I'm the Director of Planning and Development. We have a scheduled technical review committee for Wednesday, November 7th, 2022, to begin at 1 p.m. Sorry we're a few moments late on setting the room up. We do have a full house here today with the town engineer, public service director. We have fire with us, as well as building. We have representatives from the planning board, Maria Mack, as well as the Conservation Commission and Dave Flanders. So I'd like to call the meeting to order as agenda item one. We do have approval of the minutes, October 12, 2022, on the agenda. I would entertain a motion to approve those meeting minutes.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Thank you, Mr. Gorman.
Second.
Thank you, Rich. Is there any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, I would, and all those in favor of adopting the minutes, please signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I'm abstaining.
Thank you, Maria. Motion carries. Under agenda item B, TRC minor review, item number one, advisory development plan review, 165 Kingstown Road, proposed change of use from auto repair and service to marine mobile repair and service, located at 1965 Kingstown Road, AP 32-4, lot 14, Michael Gerritsen, applicant, Craig Pierce and Barbara Pierce are the owners. So, yeah. Go ahead.
So, I went through and, considered your change.
You can just, just for clarity, if you can't kind of hear the echo, the recorder won't pick you up.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, there's a difference.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, I took the considerations and the recommendations you guys made last time. I ran into some issues with getting professional drawings done based on the time and the lead time with getting those drawings done. I did put together drawings based on the existing plans to show what you guys were looking for. I can pass these out. I'll keep one of them. I have an extra. So in this drawing, I'm showing the egress of the trailers and how they would move around the property, where the location of where we would put the boats, in the back, as you guys had recommended doing, and then some screening around the property to try to separate the use. I know there's going to be some, with the landscape, there's going to be some things that may not be perfect to code, but this is really the best I can do to make this property feasible, and at this point, I'm kind of just looking if I can get to the planning board so we can defer and do actual stamp drawings at that point with any recommendations you have.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. We'll go around the table, starting with Mr. Gorman.
So was there, I know, that, was there any note of, or did you, were you able to identify any of the floor drains? Or were
there are no floor drains in the building.
There are no floor drains in the building?
No, yeah.
Okay.
And so who prepared the turning radius?
So I have an engineering background, so this is all with the, using a forklift. Turning radius on a 30-foot trailer is about 15 feet. This is all just real, and I'm happy to, you know, once we get to the planning board, have stamped drawings that are, you know, exact. But this is really just to show, you know, what the plan is as far as moving these boats around. There's plenty of room on the property to do that. I just wanted to visualize it for you.
Yeah, so you're comfortable with the boat storage in the rear of the property?
Yes.
And, I mean, just to know, you know, adding an ADA space is going to be required. Let's see what else.
And I can get all these things added to, you know, the stamp drawings.
Other than that's all I have for right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Maria?
Hi.
Hi.
I didn't get a map in my packet, so thank you for providing this. A couple questions. What is the actual width that you've got coming into the property once you have the potential landscape at the ingress?
So you mean beside the building or beside, like, as
off,
the entrance?
Off the road, yeah.
So we would, I'm not sure what the width is. We wouldn't be changing that. We would just be adding, like, a 10-foot buffer between the road and do, you know, have trees and landscaping there.
And your the way that you have it planned for a turnaround is basically you back into this empty space and then turn around that way.
Correct.
Because in the back, if you've got boats in there, obviously.
Yeah, and then we will have the use of a forklift on site, which will have a much better turning radius. So.
Okay. And obviously you took the TRC's recommendations at the last time around as far as landscaping. That's important. Really good idea to screen the cars.
Yeah.
And it looks like the boats will be screened. Is this the maximum amount of boats that you've calculated that you can have on site?
Yeah, so I think I've got, what, six back there? I mean, we can fit three in the boating, and then, yeah, so that's kind of the plan. We're looking to turn them around, so.
Right, as quickly as possible.
The existing access is 28 feet.
28 feet.
Somewhere around that.
Great, thank you.
Yep.
Rich?
I have nothing else to add. My only concern had been if there were any floor drains or anything like that with sewer service, and you've provided the sewer service on the plan on that second survey. Because of the placement of where it's going into the building, I'm going to bet that it's dedicated to a domestic use, so, or a bathroom. I'm sure that's where your bathroom is or whatever. So, okay, I'm satisfied with that.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah.
Okay. Chris? David?
My only concern was that the arborvitae are really close to each other, and they're going to crowd each other out and will need to be thinned at some point. You know, like every other one.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, I provide, you know, a landscape architect drawings. This was just me putting it together.
Cool.
Just to show you guys.
Yep.
Jamie, I just thought of something that I'd like to ask.
Go right ahead, Maria.
At the past TRC, has there been any conversation about what you're doing for signage?
No, there's an existing sign on the property we're just planning on reusing.
And I'm assuming that meets with the town standards.
Yeah, I believe it's probably smaller than the buildings around it. So.
Okay.
Just a couple of items. I you know, there's a fairly generous curb cut right now that's between, we'll say, 28 and 30 feet. That has maybe 15 to 20 foot radiuses entering on the 108. With your drawing, probably the only potential item I would look at, and again, it realize what you did, Michael, in a very short period of time from speaking with Jay yesterday.
Yeah.
So we do appreciate that. The reason it wasn't in the packet is it did not exist until today. As a we'll call it a sketch plan for the site. I think there is a potential opportunity to do some landscape buffering on the northern portion where the cars are, where you're proposing the park, maybe a minimal, you know, 8 to 10 foot landscape area between the northern property. And then we can look at maybe some, you know, there is a fence. I'm not sure who owns that fence, whether it's...
The fence is part of the property. A lot of it, where the cars are, is non-existent at this point.
Yeah.
It's just the poster in the ground. You would
go
forward and replace that.
Well, it's either fencing or do it with landscaping, and I think that's something that can be covered during your permitting process with the planning board.
Okay. You think landscaping would... you could do landscaping instead of a fence, or...
I think you have the opportunity, given your utilization of the property, to pull those cars back a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, push them south, and then just simply, you know, you're going to be doing some pavement changes. So just simple saw cut, pull it up, put some loom down, and you have an opportunity to put some green space in. I think it'll make your building and your business more attractive to people coming in.
Landscaping, then you won't need to worry about the fence falling apart and having to...
Oh, of course.
Yeah. You know, I understand your attempt, and I think visually I'll take the proposed arborvitaes that you're showing on the plan as perimeter screening as your commitment to screen the property, whether they're arborvitaes or some other type of screening. We understand that. So does anyone have anything additional to add, or Jay?
I just wanted to point out there's three components of the landscaping that appears to require a waiver. One, the property requires transitional landscaping because it's a commercial property that it's surrounded by residential zones. There's no dimensions on the plan, so it's hard to determine if the width of that landscaping complies. So one note I have here is that when you do have the landscape architect put the plan together, if you can dimension the widths of that, for instance, the arborvitae screening, if you can dimension the width of that.
Okay.
Also consider potentially doing some supplemental plantings on that front southern boundary where your client pickup, the 1 hour time window is.
So those trees are fairly large. I don't know if anything...
Small, like a understory planting.
Okay.
Something to say that you are trying to comply with the transitional... Because the transitional landscaping is going to be required pretty much all the way around.
Okay.
So if you can carry something... I don't mean to speak for Jamie, but to comply with that, you would need to carry that forward just a bit more.
Okay.
Are you talking about at the entrance?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think there's an opportunity for understory planting there with the mature trees that are there.
Yeah.
The right species you'd have a year-round if you have deciduous trees and they're going to be non-existent in 6 months of the year. Your understory would really help.
So, and Jamie had touched on the pulling those parking spaces back. Again, that would be providing the transitional landscaping that's required. You also don't have building landscaping, so I presume that you're not proposing that.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible with this plan.
Okay, so you'd have to. That's going to be a waiver request from that. And then there's a perimeter landscaping requirement. However, in this instance, I think the transitional covers both.
Okay.
So, in working with the landscape architect, I just think you should make sure that those details are ironed out and at least the landscaped area's dimensions so we can determine if it meets the requirements of the code or they're not.
Yeah.
Were you proposing to put any kind of gate or visual screen on the alleyway or the access to the rear of the property to...
Not, it's something I've considered just from a security standpoint. I wasn't sure what, you know, obviously I'm trying to make this financially feasible at this point, and, you know, I've got quite a bit already, so it was something I planned in the future, but I wasn't, you know, was thinking about in the future, but I'm not sure at this time if that's a requirement or not.
It's not a requirement, but it's one of those things that you can entertain that would help address the concerns of, you know, visual clutter, seeing boats, seeing activity, seeing the back of house activity. But I'll leave that up to you.
Okay. And again, you have two opportunities for that, either at the front of your building or towards the rear.
Yeah.
And again, I think from a security perspective, but if that was something you were entertaining even now or in the future, I would provide what type of fencing. Because I'm sure that when it goes to the planning board, they'll be looking for something more than a chain link type fence there. And again, you have a fairly decent shingle-sided building.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else, Chris, on the fire side? I'm sure you've potentially been to this site before, so you know you can get in and out, perhaps. Okay. The primary thing that I'm hearing from the discussion today is that the any movement out of the TRC to the planning board would be with a recommendation that a landscape plan is finalized and prepared by a landscape architect in compliance with the regulations. Did I miss anything else? But I think that's the primary and perhaps only item that would come out of a recommendation for TRC.
Unless you want to add the part about the potential for a fence.
I think that would...
Gate, rather.
I think the gate would be incorporated into the language of landscaping.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we want the revised plan to show an ADA space, or is that something that's
required?
Come later.
Say that again.
Do you want to see the revised plan show a ADA parking space now, or would you? Is that something that could address later at the issuance of the permit?
Yeah, and it sounds like before you end up at the planning board, you're gonna have that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, already I know there's two bays on this property. We're going to use the main bay to do the work on the boats. The second bay is a shorter bay, and we're going to be using that as more of a fabrication space. So that's right in front of the building, and we won't be pulling boats into that area. So I can easily add that.
Is that on the small portion of the building footprint?
It's on the portion to the south.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd just like to add one more thing, just in case, for a security standpoint, do you plan on doing any lighting in the rear lot?
Definitely. I mean, I think there is lighting now. Currently, there's halogen bulbs that are in the back.
Yeah, if you could, any non-compliant lighting, like wall mount or freestanding, if they could be, the fixtures could be replaced to compliant.
Okay.
Because a lot of them are FUD lights and are spilling all over, especially onto the residential.
Yep.
But from a security standpoint, I can understand if you want to install like a monopole or any kind of additional lighting, I think you should include that.
Okay.
Sheets.
And that revised lighting should be, I mean, what he's looking for is dark sky compliant, correct?
Okay.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So I hear three items. Landscape, lighting plan, and compliance with American with Disabilities Act as it relates to providing one van space.
Okay.
I would entertain that as a motion.
So moved.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
So that is a motion made by Maria, seconded by David, to make a favorable recommendation to the planning board to move this along with the provision that the applicant provide a landscape plan, lighting plan, and modify to accommodate ADA space when it goes to the planning board. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Mike, before you go, we'll try to get it. We can try to get the schedule for December, but the plans from your professionals and all that, you're going to have to get that turned around, like...
Of course, I'm going to make a call now.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
We need it by November 18th. Okay. Yeah, so there's not a whole lot of time. Okay. I'm going to be on vacation next week, so if you have questions or issues submitting,
okay.
Contact Lynn or Brian or Jamie in our office and okay. Be able to help. Yeah, it's not confirmed yet, but it could be December 13th.
Thank you. Okay, our next agenda item is B2, Preliminary Plan Review, Minor Subdivision, Ferretti Minor Subdivision, Ferranti, thank you, Jay. Brandyberry Subdivision, proposed two-lot minor subdivision located at 22 Wade's Corner Road, AP 22-3, Lot 4, Deborah Ferranti, applicant/owner. So if you'd like to tell us what you're looking to do.
Hi, I'm Eric Colburn, professional land surveyor with Foster Survey Company. And Mrs. Ferranti is looking to subdivide her existing parcel, which is about 1.31 acres, into two parcels. There's an existing house already on what's now being labeled as parcel two. And that lot should have just a little bit short of 0.85 acres. And parcel one, she's looking to construct a new house on, and that's 20,000 square feet. In our 20 zone. We submitted an initial design that had the driveway going out onto Route 138, and in working with Jason, we've revised that to be coming out of the existing driveway that goes to the existing house onto Wade's Corner Road, so it eliminates the need for a second driveway accessing the physical travel ways of both roads.
Okay. So before we get into an in-depth discussion on this, I just wanted to bring everybody's attention that after Deborah had submitted this subdivision application, I found a digital copy of a prior subdivision application that received preliminary plan approval in 2012. And the plan, which you see on the screen, is nearly identical to Ms. Ferranti's plan. In looking at the history of it, the planning board approved the preliminary plan on February 28th, 2012, I believe. Final plan was submitted but was never finalized. So the preliminary technically expired 2 years later, so it expired February 2014. Given the fact that this subdivision was already received preliminary plan approval and is almost the same, is almost identical to what this subdivision represents, it makes sense to planning staff that this request be converted to a reinstatement, where they reinstate the preliminary plan that was approved 10 years ago. There have not been many changes or any changes to zoning, the zoning or subdivision regulations that would apply to this property. In the end result, it would be the same. The only difference is the orientation of the shared access driveway. On the original plan, the shared access driveway connects interior of this on the lot. So there would be a access easement that would be required somewhere right about here. And on the plan that we kind of went over, Ms. Ferranti has the drive going out to the public right-of-way, but connecting to the existing driveway in the right-of-way. So using the existing curb cut, no new curb cut, and this configuration does not require an access easement on the adjacent property. The only question that exists in regard to this was a detention area for stormwater that DOT had reserved, I believe, in anticipation of improvements on 138. I would presume that that would get flushed out with DOT as part of their PAP. Am I correct, Rich? On Waits Corner Road, near the intersection with Kingstown Road. So if you look up on the screen.
Oh, you're talking about the municipal, oh, I'm sorry, the municipal stormwater, okay. Yeah, the municipal stormwater outfall, SK 72 and SK 108. So those are town discharges. Oh, DOT proposed that? Oh, I've never seen that.
It looks like that it was an area in the town right-of-way on Waits Corner that was reserved by DOT.
Well, but this plan is, oh, I see. So Wesley Grant included it. Wesley Grant included it as it's in, oh, I see. I'm not familiar with it, but I mean, it would still exist. It wouldn't affect what's being shown, what they're showing, though, obviously. So.
Okay.
I mean, I don't.
So I wanted to bring that up to everyone so that if the TRC would concur that it makes sense to reinstate the existing preliminary plan approval instead of restarting a preliminary plan review for the same basic subdivision. And if that is something that the TRC can support, Mrs. Ferranti can amend her application to just indicate she's asking for a reinstatement of the prior plan, with perhaps the slight modification of adjusting the driveway out into the right-of-way. As she has it, as they have it shown here.
Jay, can you just show on this map with your cursor where that additional detention basin is that is on the older map?
Just these two?
Both of those two?
Yes.
It's not existing, but it's all here.
Oh, okay.
So it looks to me like it's a proposal that would still be an agreement between us and DOT because it's our right-of-way. They're not proposing. The DOT wasn't proposing to go into this property at all from what I'm looking at here. So I just can't see that it would be it would affect, you know, anything really.
Okay. Well,
let me show this one.
Go through everyone. Jamie?
So, question for you.
Yeah, okay.
So, reinstatement,
yeah.
That would be like a minor adjustment with the new plan and location. I don't have any issue or questions zoning related, so.
My understanding and what Jay's trying to articulate is it's an application kind of queuing, that the applicant would come back to the planning board for a reinstatement. When that reinstate, if the planning board acted on it, the planning board could act on a reinstatement that recognized a new plan with this proposed layout.
Okay.
The primary change to it is a house location and the driveway location. Maria?
Agree with the reinstatement. Jay, good job on the research. Save you guys some time and money.
We were done when we found that out. So it was just coincidence that they were almost identical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Maria. Rich?
I've got no comments on.
Mark?
Yeah, I just had a comment on the water service going into the property. I'm looking at the 2011 plan and showing the water service going to the back of the existing building.
Right.
To the north. And then this plan here shows it going more into the garage. Which is the more accurate one?
I believe Mr. Grant's plan is more accurate. We don't really know, but after discussing it with my client, she where the water comes into the basement of the building would seem to make sense with what Mr. Grant's plan that was priorly approved shows. Additionally, since we submitted this, we provided the sewer plans, mm-hmm. and there's an additional sewer stop that we can tie into that's more opposite, perpendicular and opposite the existing house. So we can add that to the plan to revise the water line and add the sewer line as well.
Okay.
To the proper location.
Okay, thank you.
Chris?
I don't have an area.
Okay, thank you, Chris. David?
Nope, good to go.
Okay. So, with regards to this agenda item, I think I would, listening to the discussion and the comments, entertain a motion for TRC to support the reinstatement of a reinstatement process to be deferred to the planning board. Thank you, Maria. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
David, thank you. Is there any discussion on the motion? So just to be clear, it would be a motion is to support the application process as reinstatement and for that process to be moved to the planning board. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Just out of curiosity, this is my first time ever doing this. What do I do? What happens now?
So I'll be in touch with you to, actually, you can probably do it. The existing application that you submitted, just check off the box that says reinstatement. There's a number of boxes there, one of which I believe you checked off as preliminary. Just use that same form, check off reinstatement, and send a letter to me to the planning addressed to the planning board, just saying that you're just contact me and I'll tell you the language. We'll reference the prior approval, prior preliminary plan approval, and we'll include the actual written decision on that, and then that will make that part of your application that goes to the planning board.
Is that the final step for
to get the reinstatement? Yes. That's your final step with the planning board. If the planning board agrees and they reinstate the preliminary plan, then you'd come back and work through the final plan submission with staff administratively.
And when would that be? Only curiosity.
Whenever you're ready, after this, the reinstatement gets approved. So as quick as you can move on it is as quick as it will go.
Okay, great.
Thank you. Welcome.
Have a great vacation. I'll call you before your vacation.
No. Okay, thanks.
Okay, agenda item C, TRC Advisory Review 1, Conceptual Master Plan Review, Major Land Development Project, South County Commons, District 5 Apartments. I'll just remind you, so there's three, we have one mic, so you need to hear the echo.
Hopefully I won't do all the talking. Good afternoon. Attorney Matthew Landry on behalf of Suffolk Realty. The applicant with Sean Hayden represents the applicant owner and Eric Prevey from Dupree Engineering. As all of you know, we came last month and presented our initial proposal to you, and there was a punch list of items that we were asked to reevaluate and take a look at for this meeting before it goes on to planning board. We've made a good faith effort to go through that punch list. Some of them I know are technical issues that will be addressed as we move along, but I'll touch base on some of the big ticket items that came up, particularly with the parking, the proposed building size, and some of the things that related to waiver. I think those were parking in particular seemed to be one of the bigger issues that needed some clarification. So I'll go through those, and I know there'll be some more engineering type technical questions that I'll defer to Eric on those. But the parking issue, we're asking for a waiver from the 2 spaces per dwelling unit down to 1.5 spaces per dwelling unit. And we do have a traffic expert and a land use expert that will provide extensive testimony in regards to the amount of parking that is appropriate for this type of use and for this site. And they've been monitoring traffic data for the site, including the existing use, which is the hotel property. When this project was initially approved back in 2017, I think it was, and the Fairfield Inn was approved, the parking for the overall campus was approved based on that master plan, and that included two restaurant pad sites, 6,500 square feet in size. This site in particular was approved for a restaurant of that size with 120 parking spaces. The hotel on that plan was allocated 37 overflow spaces on this lot, but the hotel itself far exceeds the amount of parking that's needed based on our analysis and the actual use of the hotel based on our discussions with the owner, just our own observations and the data that our experts will support. Under zoning, the hotel was provided way more parking than it needed, including these 37 overflow spaces. So the original plan also included an easement area for this parking area, the overflow parking that we're using as part of this proposal, an easement reserved for this parcel to use that area. So I know there were some questions about the legality and the easements and those discussions, and it, to the extent any additional agreements or easements are needed with the hotel in the future for our proposed use, we can certainly handle that and address that. But there is an easement on record that provides our use of this area for what it's worth. So where we're at now, speaking to our experts, both the land use expert and the traffic expert, and based on our own, particularly DePreet's expertise in developing apartment projects of this size and scale in other areas, our experience is that even as low as one parking space per unit can be adequate. The SMD district that this falls under encourages shared parking. That's true for South County Commons, as you know. So we're looking at this as a campus shared parking presentation and analyzing the uses that are actually going to be built here. And we have the benefit of the hotel that is here, but at the time the approval, it considered parking for the overall campus for two additional restaurants, one of which is not even before you, that third building site in front of the hotel, that has some parking that it was actually already constructed that isn't even being used, and this site that was supposed to be a restaurant. So we've got to analyze this site for the actual uses that are being proposed as they're presented. We are going to present technical expert data at master plan and, of course, preliminary plan if we get there to support that 1.5 spaces per dwelling unit is appropriate for this building and is also able to coexist with the existing site and the hotel use based on their demands and their needs. The hotel has 14 employees. They're rarely all there at the same time, if ever. Most of them come in when the guests are not there. The hotel use assumes one space per bedroom, and that doesn't account for alternative transportation, people coming to and from weddings, the airport, use Uber, cabs, you know, whatever it may be. So it's very rarely, if ever, these overflow spaces are actually used for the hotel. There's no major events that the hotel has. It's rather benign in terms of what we're proposing. And we don't anticipate any issues with reallocating the overflow spaces to the extent we need them. And it also won't trigger any need for zoning relief to the original hotel approval because we'll still be within compliance with what the hotel needed under zoning. The data and the expert testimony will show that, you know, the ordinance looks at two spaces per dwelling unit and doesn't take into account bedrooms or how many, you know, bedrooms would, or how many spaces would be appropriate per bedroom. And our experts will provide testimony to support the fact that one parking space per bedroom is really a more appropriate and acceptable ratio based on their professional expertise, based on traffic counts, and based on other projects that they've reviewed. So we have vetted that, and we're comfortable with what we've proposed. On that factor, I know there was some discussion about reorienting the building, doing an L-shape, a drive under to provide some more surface area for parking or recreational space. We did vet a lot of alternatives. First of all, we do have a recreational area that is being proposed, I think, in the lower left, is that southwest corner. There is area in that portion of the lot. I think a dog park is being proposed. Well, there will certainly be green space available for the residents of the building.
Matt, where is it on that plan? Where is it on that?
Good evening for the good morning for the record, Eric Preby. afternoon, evening. These all blend together. There's the difference between the limited disturbance. So the southwest corner. So north is actually straight up on this plan. So southwest corner, you can see there's a difference between where the limited disturbance is and where the parking starts. There's kind of there's a line that has dots on it. Along.
Where is it labeled on that plan? Eric, simple question. Where is it labeled on that plan?
It's not labeled.
So how does anybody on the TRC know that what Matt just said?
It's available as a spot to be able to use.
No, it was said it's shown on the plans. It's not shown on the plans. As a chair, I'm disappointed. I'm hearing a lot of words, but there's nothing supplementing the words that the TRC can review today, other than the words. It's been a month.
Well, we're presenting this to you because it didn't appear from these plans that there was room for a recreational area. And one of the questions was, can we reorient the building or make room for additional public space? And we can tell you that we have looked at these plans and vetted them, and there is space available for recreational areas and green space, and that was one of the concerns. So we can certainly represent that on the plans based on your comments and discussion, but there will be green space for the residents of this building, and there is plenty of room to do so. On that segue, with the walking path over and across where the Bradley School is over to South County Commons, there was a lot of concern over pedestrian paths and bike paths and access to that portion, so it's not a building that looks like an island. Again, this is going to be part of an overall campus that will potentially have a third building at some point. It may not be a restaurant. It could be a bank or more benign use, doctor's office, something to that extent. But this is an overall campus. There is parks, I forget the name of the park, across the street behind the government building. I think they have weddings there. There was some discussion about that. But we have vetted the wetland crossing area over to South County Commons. A couple of issues with that. Eric could probably explain this a little bit better than I can, but the GIS maps, I think we brought up at the last meeting, showing the limits of that wetland buffer area that needs to be crossed. Eric has actually revisited his work from the Fairfield Inn proposal that also, I think that was a topic at the time. That wetland area is actually much more substantial than is shown on the GIS maps. And it's a very, very intensive, sensitive environmental area. And we have discussed the possibility of putting a path through there. But in order to do so, it raises an issue of public safety. Obviously, guests of the hotel walking through the woods any time of day through the night. It's a pretty long path, too. It's not terribly close. It would be a pretty significant walkway. And in order for that to move forward, we'd want to light it and be ADA compliant, all of which may trigger DEM issues. And Eric can comment more on the wetlands portion of that, but he compared that with another plan that he had looked at as to where the actual limits of that wetland boundary are, and they're much more extensive than what's represented. Sure. Do you want to comment that?
Yeah. So we had done, DePreet Engineering had done all of the surrounding areas. Obviously, to the northeast, it has the number 20 on it of what we're looking at up here, kind of in the northeast section. That's the Hampton Inn today. DePreet Engineering did all the engineering for that with the wetland edge that was associated with that. We did the Bradley School itself, which has the number kind of 31 written just to the north. Thank you, Jay. We did that, and then obviously we did the hotel for the Fairfield. So we have all of the adjacent areas, actually, and then the bike path on behalf of the town that was engineered by Dupree Engineering as well. So the bike path that goes along the kind of sewer area between, thank you, Jay, in that area. So we have all of the wetlands delineated in that area. And it is much more expansive than the GIS shows on there. So it's sounding like, from what I've heard from previous discussions here, is that looking for more documentation to be provided, we can provide a plan that shows that. I can tell you that we looked at it and we evaluated it, but I can provide a plan too as well so that everybody can see that as well. It is not that small strip that looks like it could be able to. It's effectively all the way from the bike path to where you can see the limited disturbance of Bradley School, plus kind of 50 feet. Right? There was a 50-foot perimeter wetland that was held. So the biological wetland is 50 feet inside of that area. So it's a greater than, you know, 300, 400, actually even much more than that, expanse in that area. So the likelihood and feasibility of being able to cross that wetland with a pedestrian for DEM wetlands is very unlikely, would be my opinion.
The only other issue with that, obviously, is that it includes another property owner, the Bradley School, and, you know, we would need an easement from that property owner, and there is, you know, honestly, some level of discomfort, I think, from the hotel and its guests and anybody living in our property, you know, to cross another person's property to access this path for liability issues and, you know, who assumes that risk, who maintains the pathway and things of that nature. So it just adds another layer of difficulty in trying to do that with all the other environmental issues that Eric outlined. So we did look into that. We did address it. And I think it's the second time that Dupree had an opportunity to vet that. After the hotel project went forward, I think that was an issue at the time as well. In terms of the building reconfiguration as well, there was a question over whether we could go up one floor and reduce the footprint. And again, you know, this is a partially affordable project. There's been a lot of discussion over or vetting over what could potentially be used on this site, from restaurants and office spaces to residential. This is the most feasible and appropriate use of the property for this market. And it's actually five stories on the back because of the grading, and it's four in the front. Is that?
That's correct.
And so the building size and scale is, obviously we want this to fit in with that scenic corridor. We want it to be appropriate. Technically, we could do something just like the hotel building now. We think this is a much more appropriate design. If we went up a floor, once you go up over four floors, it changes the materials, as you know. You have to go from wood to steel. It increases costs and makes the project much less feasible. But again, it is something that the applicant developer has looked into, and this is really the most fiscally reasonable building that we can do while maintaining appropriate size and scale and also keeping the affordable element of this project, which, you know, there's always a fine line running between the affordability of building these projects and being able to do it. So we have explored that option. We believe that this is the best we can do with this property, the most appropriate size. But we did look at alternative options. We are also somewhat limited based on the existing drainage area that's already on the site that needs some modifications and the proposed changes to that drainage, so that it is somewhat constrained in what we can do in this area, and we've vetted all the other possibilities. The other ticket item, there was some discussion over landscaping. You know, obviously there's some areas on the entryway that we have room to put substantial buffering and screening. We don't have to make it invisible from the main road, but certainly buffering will be vetted. We've got John Carter, a very well-respected landscape architect, as you know, that will submit detailed landscaping plans, the materials, you know, the size. There was some concern over the types of plants that will be proposed. You know, so we will provide all of those and go through that process. We are aware that there is some room for more substantial plantings in that entry corridor to soften the impacts on the main road. That's the highway, and we're open to doing that. We certainly have no issue concerning that. So those were the main issues. I know there were some drainage questions. I don't know if Eric wants to touch on those or if there's other questions.
Sure. It was. I think we had questioned last time what the pretreatment would be. So it would be a proprietary system at that point. It'd be like a hydrodynamic separator that we would end up using, going to an infiltration for water quality directly, and then using the basin that's out there. So again, we are at master plan stage conceptual, but it's something that we've thought about at this time. So all the details will be provided at prelim.
And that's true for obviously maintenance agreements and system maintenance. I didn't know that was another question. Those are always legal documents and whatnot that we prepare in draft form for the solicitor's review and get approved as this moves forward. So we have every intent, obviously, of doing that.
I have one more thing.
Okay, please.
I have one more thing to add as well. When we had left towards the end of the meeting for CONCOM, we were referred to Conservation Commission as well. So we have had a chance to go to the Conservation Commission, I think it was last Tuesday. And I believe, I don't know if the recommendation has been already sent forward. I know it usually has to get typed up and stuff, but I don't want to paraphrase for Mr. Flanders here, but what I heard was recommendations for either pavers or pavers on site and or porous pavement type, some sort of alternative for traditional impervious pavement throughout, and just looking for reduction of impervious as much as possible. So that was one of the suggestions out there. There was also discussion on, hold on a second, just add it on here. That was the main one, was that there was support on trying, obviously making sure that parking is adequate, but at the same point not that the support of the reduced parking to limit impervious as much as possible was supported by the Conservation Commission as well, obviously needing to meet requirements though as well.
I'll grandstand a little bit about it, but as far as pervious pavement goes, if you could please, pervious pavement was originally used for redevelopment sites. This is my usual spiel on this. It's originally for redevelopment sites. It does not provide as good water quality treatment as other treatment methods, and if we could pursue those, we would prefer that. And there's a number of reasons why. Also, there's a long-term maintenance requirement for pervious pavement that we can't monitor and we will not oversee over a long period. And if we can get better treatment with basins, usually an infiltration basin actually treats water better than pervious pavement, I would prefer to see that. Reduction of impervious areas is a great idea. And if you can do that, that would be beneficial. But I would ask that we avoid pervious pavement whenever possible.
Sure. What I was trying to do was relay what I heard as the thoughts from the Conservation Commission. I wasn't saying that we were going to do everything as pervious
pavement. Yeah, but I just don't want you to go down the line.
Understood.
Right, without
understood.
Talking with us.
I think our commitment to the Conservation Commission was to look at areas where we can fill in either paver areas or sections where they can be incorporated, also maybe peeling off some bioretention areas into smaller. We have pockets where landscape will need to be as well, maybe pull in some bioretention areas in there. So that's what we were looking. That's what we will be doing. I was trying to relay.
Of course, you're using pervious pavement, but still doing these other things. That's different as well. So
yep.
if that happens, that's great.
It was what I took out of the meeting was to look at pushing as many of those alternative ways as possible. That's what I heard from it. I'm not saying that we committed to doing pervious pavement everywhere. What I was trying to say was what we heard from the board at that time. And I think there was some other.
Yep. We also recommended low water usage grass because some species do require less water.
Yeah, the clovers and the fescues.
And all that also before getting into the impervious or the pervious pavement areas, rumble strips to shake loose any grit that's on the tires and such that would clog it up.
That's right. Thank you. Yep. I just wanted to add that, too, because that was kind of important since last meeting that we also went there.
All set, Matt?
All set, please.
So we'll go around the table again. Jamie Gorman.
Just was there any more thought regarding pedestrian access to Tower Hill Road or via you know, the private right-of-way or state right-of-way? Has that been looked at? Sidewalks? Crosswalks?
So we have the internal sidewalks, and then that would connect over to the hotel piece that already has an integrated network. But as far as extending that even further over to Route 1, I don't know that that's specifically at this time, if that is, that's not included at this time.
Okay, yeah, I don't even see it on the hotel piece, really, but I don't know if it's on GIS. But not in the application. Maybe some potential feasible options, I guess. Other than that, that's all I have for right now.
Maria?
Thanks, Jamie. So the last time and only time the board has seen this application is at the pre-application stage, which was literally at the 11th hour. It was at the end of a long evening. We did not have much time to really digest the project. It was just kind of a quick recap because, as I said, it was late after a lengthy meeting. And I think there are going to be several questions for you. One is the building is enormous, and this isn't a hotel. It's a residential apartment building, and it exceeds the height limit. You are going to get asked about making two smaller buildings with creating some kind of green space, usable green space in between for the benefit of the residents in the apartments. I see that it's not terribly clear from this drawing how much clearing there will actually be, because this, having gone out to the site, and we have asked for a site visit that has not yet occurred, but it's very important to planning board members, the area seems much smaller in real life compared to this large area. So I would want to know, and I'm sure the board would as well, how much clearing will actually occur. It's understood that the property goes back and is fairly wooded. I note that from the minutes from the last TRC, there was a lot of conversation about connectivity. This is something that is going to be very important and going to be asked for. If you're asking for this level of use on a site, I think it's going to be necessary that a good faith effort is made to have some connectivity, because you have the affordability components. You're asking for a decreased parking, but this is not in a city. This is not an urban plan. People are going to have to, if you're asking for the reductions in parking, people are going to have to be able to walk or bike to other areas. And there should not be an assumption that all of the folks in this property will have cars, and which is also based on your waiver for a reduction. Again, I think there's going to be a lot of concerns. And then you also mentioned you want to fit in with a scenic corridor. Now, Mr. Landry, I know that most of your experience has been primarily in South Kingstown with South County Commons and its environs. Mr. Privy, however, has had more experience, and he does have a better idea of what the folks in town think fits into South Kingstown. And in fact, I remember and at one other project, there was a request for walking through the woods, and Mr. Privy said, oh, it might be dangerous, and I replied that we like to walk in the woods in South Kingstown, so we're not really afraid of that, and I don't think that's rationale for abandoning that idea. So you're going to have a lot of questions, and I would really hope that you would look at, I'm sure you'll say it's not financially feasible, but in the interest of making something that fits in, that is not a hotel, that is a residential project, this should not look like something that we see next to the malls in Warwick or what have you. So.
So we gave you, I believe you already have a letter, Eric, that yes. Notes sewer availability. So we're just going to ask that you do the You know, tell us the service, you know, what your requirements are for service. I'm really going to be interested to see how the pumps are going to be operating, the Bradley and also the pump that's down at the on the bike path there. So thank you.
Mark?
I have no further questions.
Chris?
I have nothing.
David?
Already expressed.
Again, just hold on a moment. Again, I concur with some of the items contained here, and again, I noted potentially my disappointment that a lot of, and I absolutely respect the opinion of Mr. Landry as an attorney, but a lot of the items that were brought up last month appear to have been just deferred to, we are going to supply information in the further future, we're going to have our transportation planner and engineer look into those things. We're going to provide things. We're going to put things. We're going to modify things. Yet the information that came in to the TRC in preparation of this meeting didn't have any of that information. So, you know, from my perspective, I'm sitting here as a chair of a technical review committee who's supposed to be reviewing the technical aspects of a project, some of which may need to be modified with regards to parking, open space, recreational opportunities, and there wasn't an attempt to at least show some of these things on a modified plan. So, you know, I have a list of items here based on the discussion, and I wouldn't even know right now where to begin on drafting a motion to make a recommendation to the planning board. So again, I think my takeaway right now is there was a lot of discussion. I'll re-listen to the testimony of the applicant. You know, it was verbal. It's not in writing. And would kind of lean towards tabling this to not in essence for additional testimony, unless the applicant wanted to bring something forward, but to give us an adequate time to make sure all of the points made by the applicant, as well as the comments made by TRC members, could be articulated in a clear and distinct motion that can perhaps forward this to the planning board. If we had the opportunity to review some of the things in a written format prior to this meeting, it may have been easier for me. I don't know if any other members of the committee want to take a look at potentially proposing a motion today, but I know I would struggle with that. And Maria can vouch for I'm pretty good at moving on the fly at meetings and writing language. I know Mr. Parker has some follow-up items. Thank you.
I just wanted to mention consider transitional landscaping along the southern boundary along Hampton Way. That is an incompatible neighboring use, which would trigger transitional landscaping requirements. Also clarifying, there's no open space being proposed on the current plan, or is there any? I know there was a mention of a dog park or something. Is open space of some sort, whether it be a dog park or not, going to be considered?
Yes. So I think the question was whether or not, so per the checklist, and I think we've got the notice of incompleteness with one of them was saying open space to be dedicated and such, right? So that's, to me, dedicated means it's going to everybody. We did provide I'm going to the other one. Fairfield Inn did provide a open space plan kind of showing where all the landscape areas for, I believe the definition is greater than 5,000 square feet is what it is. We can provide that for this as well. That has not been provided. We can provide that. There will be areas on this piece that could be shown as well. This area, District 5 in general, as part of the master plan, was supposed to have, it has 4 point something, I don't remember, it's like 4.3 acres that was needed as open space as part of the master plan approval as well. And we were closer to 7 when we had with the overall. So we're well above the four. I can show where we can show where those integrate into this piece as well, because they all, again, it is kind of part of a campus in this area between Bradley, because Bradley was also part of District 5 as well. So Bradley, the hotel, that front parcel. So we can update that open space plan and kind of show that, so it's clear.
That would be appreciated. And I know, you know, DePreet's been inherently involved in the SMD, and the open space, the SMD does have open space requirements for the district as well as per project. And this is just me venting a little bit. It's difficult for me to review, to apply the regulation that's called out in the zoning ordinance the way that it's been drafted, because it is somewhat generalized. There is a strong component that requires open space and provides standards for what that open space is required to be. But then there are allowances for shifting open space to the southern portion of the site and the northern portion of the site. And when you're dealing with projects that come in one by one, and as a sub piece of that district, it's really hard to be like, well, what open space are we talking about? Has it been accounted for? Is it in the master plan? Is it consistent with the master plan? It makes it difficult when they don't all come in as one. So that's just me actually looking probably to you, Eric, for a little bit of help with understanding how the open space functions in the district and how it is going to be applied at a parcel, at a development level.
Yeah, I can. So speaking exactly to that, I remember we put together that colorized plan that we did for Fairfield. I can update that with what this new layout is, get that on there, and provide that. I think that'd be helpful for everybody to show what this whole district area is. That'd be helpful.
Just to follow up on Jay, you know, part of our component as the chair of TRC and also wearing my hat as the planning director is you have a unique land use scenario here. As originally proposed, you could view the uses as auto-orientated. There are two restaurants. There was the existing Fairfield Inn, or the Fairfield Inn was proposed, and there was an interrelationship between the inn and the two proposed restaurants, and we'll say a pedestrian connection. There was no residential component, so there was no interrelationship potentially between a residential person living here and the need or interrelationship from a pedestrian cyclist point of view to the rest of the development. You're introducing a new component, so it brings in those issues of connectivity. Simply as, if I was a resident, how do I walk to your restaurant pad? How do I walk to the medical office across the street? How do I, if I have a friend who lives in the condos further down on Hampton Way, how do I walk there? Because it was never contemplated, because there wasn't an interrelationship between the proposed use of this portion of South County Commons and we'll say that pedestrian link. And I think you're introducing it. You know, you could have between 160 and perhaps 200 residents here that, based on your plan today, will be 100% auto-orientated. And I'm not, it's not a fault, Eric, of your plan or design. It's just you're introducing this component that I think is a complicated issue that has to be looked at and every best effort made at doing this. Also understanding that you would probably say, sure, we'll put a sidewalk on Hampton Way, but I don't know what rights you have to make those improvements to Hampton Way. We're more than willing to provide the pedestrian link to the northern part of South County Commons, but you don't control the property between the two. Would the state introduce something on their right-of-way connecting the two? Again, I have some experience, people know, from Connecticut where that has been done. There's a substantial bike path built adjacent to 384 in the towns of Tallinn, Manchester, and East Hartford within the state right-of-way to basically an interstate type system. So, there are multiple opportunities to explore. The doors may all end up being closed, hopefully not slammed in your face. But I think to simply just say, we looked at option A, well, there may be options B, C, and D. The introduction of 160 to 200 new residents in the community, I think, can't be ignored with as it relates to the walkability aspect of this. Again, it's challenging, but I want to challenge you to try and resolve the issue and accomplish something that, you know, sitting here today, you may think wasn't able to be done. You know, think a little bit outside the box. You know, I understand the dynamics of stick-built versus going to structural. But, you know, you're the one proposing the density, and I think people are asking you that if you don't have options with regards to bulk and scale, to make every attempt to make that bulk and scale blend in, either through architecture, landscaping, or other some, you know, other way. You know, and understanding that there's a permitting process laid out by the state of Rhode Island, and you're only required to do certain things at certain steps. But I think since you will be requiring waivers, the more information you can provide up front, I want to call it, makes it an easier discussion, but makes it a more inclusive discussion as it relates to your waiver request.
I just have a couple more things. So the idea of the SMD, as Mr. Privy stated, is one of a campus. And because the development has not occurred all at one time, you had no choice but to make it piecemeal of sorts. However, you need to look at the big picture. Think of how a university campus is. There's a lot of connectivity. There's always consideration of relationship of one building or one area to the other. Green space and usable green space, not peripheral green space. It's got to be something that actually contributes to a project. So again, looking at things in a big picture sense, rather than, well, it's part of the big campus, but you're saying that, but you're not demonstrating that. And I think that you really have to, as you move forward, show how it relates. And as Jamie said, you've got to have connectivity. If you look at, again, if this were an academic institution, which they're always making additions and changes, but they always have that big picture, that kind of systems thinking in mind, and you could certainly benefit from that here. Oh, and the hotel, by the way, is not adequately screened with landscaping. It took this town many, many years of hard work to get the scenic roadway designation. We do not want to be able to see this building from Route 1. So I want to say, and kind of trying to summarize some of the discussion, I understand the applicant, time is probably always of the essence, but this is a substantial project, and you probably are aware you have many months before you in the permitting process. So I don't necessarily think a delay at TRC is a delay in the whole programming of your permitting process, but I would be conservative in the discussion today, and at least as the chair of the committee, give me an opportunity to review my notes, perhaps re-listen to the tape, and then formulate a motion based on the discussion for consideration at the next TRC meeting. And I welcome input from the applicant if they have any contrary opinions to that. But I think we can
do the applicant justice if we take the time to articulate all of the thoughts of the TRC as the project moves forward.
Can I just a quick clarification on that? The so at this point, I don't believe it's certified complete, right? We got it complete.
Yeah, we have that floating in the background.
Understood. So regardless, it doesn't sound like it would be on the November agenda, right? At that point, by the time you get notices and such for master plan. So it sounds like even if it, whatever the next available is, there's still time to have that TRC in front of that meeting, if there was anyway.
Yeah. And again, that's why I made the point today that a delay at TRC doesn't necessarily delay your application
next,
queue.
Whatever that meeting is. Right, okay.
It may make you better prepared before you come before the planning board.
Is that one
actually happening? The December... The December... We're not sure exactly... We're not... The December meeting for the planning board has not been confirmed yet, but on the annual schedule, it's stated for December 13th.
TRC or
the planning board.
Was 13th?
Right. The next scheduled TRC meeting is the 14th. December is one of those tough months for us where we only have one planning board meeting, and it's usually tried to be centered in the middle of the month.
Yeah, and then with Thanksgiving towards the end of, obviously, November, and that's when usually the primary meeting is. So.
So I would entertain a motion to table.
Make the motion to table.
Thank you, Mr. Gorman. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, David. Motion to table. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Motion passes. And again, thank you for your patience today. Our next agenda item is agenda item C2, preliminary plan review for Fieldstone Farms, Old North Road.
Good afternoon. For the record, Eric Preview, it's a Preed Engineering. I'm actually just here for a quick status update, to be honest with you. I was here anyway. I knew I was coming for this, so I figured I'd give you a quick status update. It's not, we're not, so far there, as you know, nothing new has been presented, similar to what you said as far as for the last application, you were saying, okay, nothing new. I'm telling you, there's nothing new that has been submitted in advance of this meeting, so I'm just more giving you a status update on this right now. The landscape plan, there was no landscape plan that was provided with the original submission, so we're working with John Carter to put that together. So you will be seeing that in advance and be able to chance to look at that. As part of the discussion, we had talked about keeping the trees, the street trees, onto the private property as well. So we're doing that as well for maintenance purposes and putting the easements accordingly. I think that was public services preference to have them on the private land, I believe, outside of the right-of-way is what I recall. We're also working, we'll be looking at that safe stopping site distance at the corner, make sure that's adequate around the corner there. I know there was some discussions of whether or not that was enough, so we're looking at that right now. And DEM... I think we mentioned it last time, but it does have a wetland permit, but it's getting a new wetland permit because it wouldn't be done in time to stay under that original permit. So I talked to the engineer and the biologist the other day, and that should be wrapping up for issuance of a new permit for it altogether. So we'll be, as soon as that's obtained, I'll be submitting that as well. That's kind of the main status of what has happened in a month for us. Obviously, we're all here. If there's any new comments that people had, I'd be happy to bring them back to our team. But, you know, the project attorney, Joel Rocha, was not able to make it today. Like I said, I was here anyway. If I wasn't here, I probably would have said, hey, just continue us to next month. But I'm here anyway. So if there's any additional feedback, I can bring it back to the team. I'd be happy to.
I will say that the membership is similar to last month, but not completely. David and Maria are here this month, so I'd give the opportunity to Maria and David if they had anything to add based on the Fieldstone Farms.
I was just curious. There's a community, OWTS. I thought the town was shying away from having those.
The town doesn't control OWTS approvals. That's DEM.
Right, right.
So if DEM deems it appropriate and it checks all the boxes,
okay,
it's on DEM.
Okay.
There is one across the street.
Yeah.
And they have been, you know, the comments in previous submissions have been, be sure that you have a backup plan if there's a problem with a community system.
Maria, do you have anything?
And I don't know if you were around when we had the site visit several years ago.
No. Well, I was around. I don't think I went to the site visit, though.
Rich, were you part of that? I know
I
John
not.
Shot. Okay. One of the things that was noted was that there were, I mean, it was a basically a wooded swamp area, and there was standing water, and there was discussion about the fact that having that type of mature vegetation does effectively help with water mitigation. You cut everything down, and again, that's going to be a big issue as far as doing that well and using as much low-impact design as possible, green infrastructure, and so on. And the other thing is that, as I recall, the last plan that we saw did not have any designation of units. That's correct. Right?
Correct. It still doesn't.
You're, okay.
It still doesn't. No. But real quickly as well, the last that it was before the planning board was the 39 with the in-law, but it's 39 total now, and of that, 10 will be low and moderate income. So it's just total of 39 yep. now. So, and you're correct. They have not been demarcated yet. Okay. I didn't have anything. I just figured I'd give
Thank
you status
you.
While I was here anyway.
I would entertain a motion to table.
So moved.
Thank you, Maria. Second?
I'll second.
Jamie Gorman? Discussion on the motion to table?
Yes. Eric, do you anticipate being ready for next month, or?
Probably not, to be honest. For TRC?
Yes.
Probably, yeah. We would probably have the materials in that time to be able to give to you. Yes. Please keep us on the next TRC.
That's all, yeah. We hadn't heard from anyone since last month, so I'm just trying to
get ahead of it. Should be okay on the TRC. We're not going to get onto the December agenda, obviously.
All those in favor of tabling to the December meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you. Thanks for your time. Am I allowed to say something about that last application or not? Only because, well, I was just going to tell you, it is actually, we did stake out the limited disturbance on site. If anybody ever wants to go, that what's shown on that plan is the limited disturbance. When you go, you can see it. So if I assume maybe we can schedule a site walk at some point with the planning board if it's official one, but it's out there. So if anybody ever wants to stop by, that limited disturbance is out there.
Yellow, orange, blue, do you know what you flagged them as?
Typically, we do orange for orange. Limited disturbance and blue for the wetland flag. Okay. So they're both out there. The wetland flag itself is there, and then the limited disturbance is out
right.
there as well. So
thank you, Eric.
Just figured I'd let you know if you guys want to stop by.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. David, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Meeting adjourned at, the clock's not right, 2:27 p.m. Thank you.